Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast. What's good? What's good, everyone?
It's all good in the hood.
It's good in the hood. What's going on in your life, your world? Susie?
Everything and nothing.
Why you got glitter on your lip?
What
you been? Yeah, where you been? Got glitter all up in your face?
No.
You shining bright like a diamond. Oh, your hat, born to sparkle. Okay.
Yay.
That's cute. What
is that? No hating allowed.
You know what? We're not going there with you because you probably still stuck in Raheem Devon's face.
On a
you know what? He did have his little nuts in your face. They were all in your face.
All in the face. And y'all,
and that was one time I didn't mind a man's nuts.
Did he smell good? Because you were up close and personal.
You got to tell the story.
He smelled so good.
You got to tell the story.
So I'm over here just cheesing from ear to ear right now. Because she with my man.
I had the pleasure.
How he all about men's?
I don't know about y'all.
We want to share him.
But me and him.
And I got the front.
Me and him. No. Oh, no, my sister.
Girl.
You got to get your own. Because me and him is going to have. I was just telling my friend on the way here how, you know, you can meet handsome men all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a moment where you can meet a man and have an electrifying energetic experience with them where you know that man will suck and fuck
just by looking at him
out your body with the first
contact, just first look,
just
first glance,
the first meeting of the eyes.
It pierced your soul. You felt that drop in your belly like you're going down a roller coaster.
I locked eyes with a man on March 12th, 2026, that I have never locked eyes with before in my life. His name was Raheem Devon. And he looked me in my eyes, and I looked him in his eyes, and we was face to face. We was face to face, y'all. And I felt
nuts to face, but go ahead.
Well, he came down to me.
Oh, because
his nuts was in my face first, but then he came to me, eye level. And he was speaking to me, and he was talking so slow.
Mm.
And his lips are so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And
his beautiful
teeth.
Smile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And when he was talking to me, I was, have you ever been, what do you call it? When somebody is, has you under a spell. God damn it, I can't even.
Mesmerized.
It's deeper than mesmerized.
It's deeper than mesmerized. Had to have you in a trance.
That's it.
Because I wanted to say something, and I couldn't even fucking remember what I wanted to say. Cause
took your breath away.
Shit, yes. Oh, fuck. And I couldn't say, and I almost forgot my fucking name.
Like, you missed your moment.
Yeah. I wanted to tell him what my favorite song was, and I couldn't remember what the fuck I wanted to say.
Girl, he had you gone.
And I wanted to take all my clothes off right there, but all them people was in the room.
Oh, you had an outer body experience.
I did. And if we were, so let me just say, so the next day I made a video. My favorite song by Raheem Devon is California King Size Bed. Listeners, I want y'all to listen to that song. If that song had been playing in that moment, and we were in the room by ourselves, I would have, and I don't have one night stands with men. I don't know.
Well, you had to say it like that.
I don't have one night stands with men that I've just met. But I felt like in that moment, I knew Raheem Devon my whole life. And I was going to have relations with him if that song would have been playing. Because I felt like we had known each other.
That's
it magnetic. It was very intense.
It looked like it was intense. It looked like it was intentional.
It was
intense, and personal.
I wonder.
And so when he asked for her, the number one fan, I'm up here pointing at her like, "Here, she right."
And I I told the lady, I said, "Excuse me, I need to go up there to my man." And I was walking. I said, "Baby, I'm coming."
Baby, were you the only one to actually?
The only one. Yep, nobody else.
He was like, "There's no single ladies here." And yo, I was like, "Here, she right." Because at first I thought he was, because he did. They were both very engaging. Eric Robinson and Raheem Devon. Like, that was the best personal, intimate concert I have seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Besides when Pastor Troy came and talked to everybody in the audience.
Right.
Like, they were out there taking pictures. Eric Robinson was taking pictures, selfies with everybody. You know, it was just a nice feel. So when he asked who is this number one fan, and I mean, it was like everybody just stopped.
And they women were probably in a trance too.
But women had been messing all night, had been on the stage all night. But for it's like I was supposed to be there.
That's what I was about to say. I think that was the moment for Yoshi.
That was for you.
It was a young lady. And I know we get excited at concerts and we want to stand up, but you got to be considerate of others. And it was this lady, her guy friend brought her there because I kind of overheard the conversation because we made friends with everybody around us. And so the lady, I think it was her birthday, and she loves Eric Robinson because they all went to Howard together.
Okay.
Anyway, but she was standing up the entire time. And Yoshi, everybody knows how Yoshi is.
Overstimulated.
And so, a lot of people was like, "No, tell her to sit down." Because it was a gentleman that was in the other row told this other lady, like, "Can you please sit down? We want to see the show." But Yoshi was very calm. I was actually very proud of her because I thought we was going to have to snatch this lady. But she knows she was very calm, and she was able to see the concert. Now, with Raheem, though, she didn't stand up much, but she did. So I felt like that was the positive that came out of the night, because she
allowed me to have him.
Yes.
And experience him, because this is my first time seeing Raheem Devon.
Yeah.
I've never seen him in concerts.
Mine too.
So.
Yeah. Like Eric Robinson, like second or third
this
time.
And I've seen Eric Robinson maybe 5 times.
Yeah. I went with you once when he came to the small.
Yeah, this
gala.
Is probably my fifth
you
time.
You was with us that night, yeah. Vaughn, at the gala? I was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You were there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember you being there.
I was there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. You were there.
Nine, babe.
That's why I said, Vaughn, you was there.
Yeah. Okay.
I've seen Eric Robinson many times.
Yeah, about 3 times.
And he never disappoints.
Never.
Ever. And he just did an impromptu song
about
Veronica and Derek.
He is just
so funny.
He is. And
he's so... I like him.
Because I asked Yoshi, that's why I was talking about him and Eric Benet. Because I was like, Yoshi, Eric Robinson and Eric Benet, if you're not following them on social media.
Eric Benet is hilarious.
And then that's when I found out that they're coming to the township. Yeah.
Oh, but we stopped talking about my boyfriend.
But go ahead. Finish your boyfriend.
Yeah, but he was just so... And y'all already know I got a thing about May Taurus. And he's a May 5th Taurus.
May 5th. Okay. I was going to ask when
we had magic. I don't know if it was for him like it was for me, but.
Is he married? Is he?
No.
No? Oh, he's not.
Not married. No children.
Wow.
He's 50.
He looks good.
He looks damn good.
Yeah. He looks good.
Yeah.
It's the music that got him.
And I don't even like men with locks.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
But his is nice and neat and well-groomed.
I just love his smile. He has a beautiful, full my God. Smile.
So,
his lips are gorgeous.
Yeah, we all... Oh, my God, yes. And teeth. So, I have this thing because I am So my thing with men is I love teeth and I love lips because I am a kisser. I don't even have to have sex with men, but if you are a great kisser, because, boy, I like to kiss, you got me. And he looks like he can deliver some really passionate kisses. So, Raheem, if you're listening right now, if you would like to set a date up just to kiss me all night,
Yoshi man,
kiss me all night long. This is your Scorpio lover sending you a message via airways.
It was.
I will come to Atlanta, baby, and kiss you all over your body.
Well, you'll have your chance again.
Yes, because I'm coming to see you in April, too. And I might not have any panties on.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I'm just joking. Yes. I'm just joking.
So, what is our show about today? What are we doing?
Let me I want to ask y'all this question.
Oh, yeah. What's our question?
Yeah, question of the week was, if a woman chooses to be sexually celibate until marriage, should a man choose to be financially celibate until marriage?
Why is that even a thing? That's so petty. Wait a minute. Hold on. You gotta eat. I gotta eat too.
Okay.
My body, my right.
Watch a movie. I want to watch a movie too.
It takes money for the world to go around.
It does.
My body doesn't.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm, we're not. Yeah.
But
I'm not.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question. So, are you withholding the money because she's withholding the sex?
No. Your interpretation of the question is your interpretation of the question. The question states, if a woman chooses to be sexually celibate until marriage, should a man choose to be financially celibate until marriage? Them two different things, man. But let me ask you a question. So how is it two different things?
As I said before, your body is different from money. Okay,
and money takes money to move. Okay,
you can't move without money.
For a lot of women in this
a
day
lot
and
of
age,
men too.
Can I finish?
No, I'm sorry. Yes.
For a lot of women in this day and age, money moves their body.
Mm.
That's a woman who.
I didn't say all.
Okay, I think if a woman's mindset is, that is what moves my body, then she's after the wrong thing.
The majority, that's what social media will tell you.
It shouldn't just be money. Should not move my body.
How many times have you seen videos where people where women are talking about
sales?
Yeah, I ain't coming up off it unless he spent. He got to take me to here. He got to take me there. It ain't free.
That's okay. I've heard that before many times.
So if you're choosing to hold out, you're saying, look, this is my journey that I need for myself, whether it's spiritual or for whatever other reason.
Mm-hmm.
You're choosing
because we can spend money on each other.
Right.
Listen to all I'm saying is because she's saying I'm gonna save my body from my husband. Mm-hmm. Right?
Or until the time is right or whatever.
He's gonna save his money for his wife.
I'm supposed to provide a protection. Is a man not supposed to provide and protect for his wife?
Absolutely.
That's you're right.
So he is not going to spend it on girlfriends.
I'm not going to provide for my girlfriends. So here was my response.
They don't need to be together. He needs to move on to somebody
This is my response. Ma'am, if we're being consistent, I guess I'll be financially celibate too. No dinners, no trips, no can you help me with, no random cash apps. We'll both be sitting here, you protecting your body, me protecting my wallet. And on the wedding night, we'll financially consummate everything. We'll finally consummate everything. You break the celibacy, I'll unlock the debit card. Fair.
So everybody's going Dutch in every relationship.
Don't like the nookie.
And that's the next point. Let's get to that point.
Oh, God.
We had somebody. This is a comment. I see a lot of single moms and divorced women on here feeling some type of way. listen, ladies, the reality part of said worth for you is the access to your body. As a woman, you should be satisfying my sexual needs as as my purpose is to provide and protect you. If we are dating, cool, 3-month rule is fine too. But until marriage is crazy. The mindset of no sex before marriage come before both religious backgrounds, come from both religious backgrounds and on what on that viewed women as property to not be tampered with. We are grown. We need to make sure we are sexually compatible because if I whip out a 2-inch punisher on our wedding night, then you're going to be hurt as if the sex wasn't good on your part. I'm going to be hurt. How we both cheating. Now we both cheating. Look, let's be for real.
All I got to say is if he is withholding being because she's withholding, then maybe they just don't need to be withholding together.
No, tis true. But let's look at it from this aspect.
Are they going
aspect.
Dutch on everything they
let's,
do?
Let's see. Now you
I'm just asking. You said no dates, no trips, no this. So no, we can do these things, but you pay things. Your way, I pay my way. Like yes. Every. Okay.
Yes. I mean, we celibate, so we'll have 2 separate hotel rooms.
Dang, you can't even do a double bed in the same room?
Oh, we can do a double bed. We can split we can split it.
I get it this time, you get it next time? Or,
no, we're going to have these.
Man, fuck that.
Why?
No. Mm-mm.
See, you want to know, and I'm going to tell you what the problem with society today is.
Tell me, please.
Everybody, people are giving wife treatment to people that are girlfriends, and women are giving husband treatment to people that are just boyfriends. That is the problem.
I can agree.
I do. That's why I'm saying.
I can agree.
I do. I agree.
Everybody don't deserve to be dinner cooked for them every night. Oh, everybody don't deserve.
You're right.
You know, everybody don't deserve to be shacked up with. Everybody don't deserve for the hair and nails to be paid for. All that.
I agree with that.
But we've given, we have become a society full of people that are giving husband and wife treatment to people that are not our husband and wife. Booyah. Off to your topic now.
Okay.
See?
I mean, you know.
Because isn't that true? Isn't that true?
I mean, yeah, it's some truth there.
Not some. That's a lot of truth.
I mean, it is. I mean, truth there.
Think about, let's say, I know for me,
there's
my last couple of relationships, they've gotten wife treatment.
And look where they at, right? Nowhere around. And then they got the wife treatment and they gone. So now you got to redo the wife treatment.
Did they give
all
you
again.
Husband treatment?
Yes.
So.
I'm not saying
that
that's
no
why.
There's no robbery in a fair exchange.
I said that's the problem. I didn't say that there wasn't a fair exchange. I'm saying that's the problem. So if a woman has decided, have y'all seen the new Netflix show, Age is Nothing But a Number, something like that? There's this new Netflix show that says the people meet on this island and they can't reveal their age. They can only reveal their age after they've made a connection and have committed to one another for the next couple of months. Then they can reveal their age and then they go live together and they find out this, that, and the third about each other after that. There was a man and this girl, I call her a girl because it's correct. There's this man and this girl. Mm-hmm. They connected. They go to reveal their ages and she left out a key piece for her, for him. And he left out a key piece for her. He didn't tell her he had kids and she didn't tell him that she was celibate. Neither one found out that this was the case until they got into it's called the promise room. So when they got into the promise room, then they revealed their ages. She is 26. He was 60.
So now they
move into the house and she's saying she's celibate. He gets upset because
cobwebs and all.
He gets upset. He gets upset because to his defense, he says, you say you're celibate, but we're steady doing everything else but the actual intercourse. So if you want to be celibate, let's not do none of this stuff. If you're going to be truly celibate, if that's what you're saying. Very interesting show.
I think I might.
Yeah, you're gonna,
you have some good stuff on Netflix that you be telling us
how
about.
How the hell you forget to tell somebody you got kids?
No, he didn't forget. He said he withheld it. He just like she withheld being celibate. Because you could withhold certain in because for some of them, if they said how many kids, it may kind of allude to
how old you are.
So it's whatever you wanted. He wanted to make sure that the connection was genuine before he actually told her he had kids.
Oh, I got you.
And then see what the because you could go to the promise room, do whatever. It's like say whatever, and then it be like, not for me. And then they could just split and go their separate ways. They don't have to move forward. So it's not a matter of you have to because when he said he was 26, that girl couldn't even fathom the amount of years.
I hate shows like that because has anybody ever successfully fucking made it? Because
yeah, like Love is Blind. Love is Blind has had a lot. I would say a lot. I would say Love is Blind will have like one in every five couples
that really go the distance
and have kids and are still married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one in five. Because Love is Blind, and that was another question I had earlier this week was, is love truly blind? And I was like, no.
I saw that question.
Yeah, no, it's not. Love ain't blind. Love can see.
2020, baby.
2020. Think about it. Like, how are you going to be attracted? And you see it on the show, Love is Blind. Like, they'll be behind the wall, and they talking, and they falling in love. And as soon as they see each other, they're like, oh, God damn it. Like, yay, hey. But we engage now, and there's a contract on the show. So, like, on all of these shows, you sign a contract that says if you leave the show for any reason, you don't get paid. So some of the people stay on the show just trying to stick it out.
And some of them be like, fuck this contract. I'm out. I'm done. You can have the money, but they can't really. I think they have to stay on the premises until the actual show ends.
Yeah.
So they go to a hotel or something like that.
But if you think about it, look at children. You can't pick who your mom and dad is. Mm-hmm. It's like a Love is Blind. You got to stay there. Fucking think about it. You're a kid. You born into this fucking family.
That's different though.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's different. Not. You sit. Here's your mommy. Here's your daddy.
You are a makeup of two people
No, it's not. Okay, let's say I'm adopted. Let's say I'm adopted.
Now that's
a
little different.
They plot me right here in this in a prime example. They plot me right here in between Mary and Joe. I don't know these people from Adam, but here I am, and now I gotta play nice and be a family with them. I don't know them. I share no DNA with them, but I gotta play nice and be a family. I don't always like them, but hey, I gotta get along. And nine times out of more than likely, you see white kids, they tend to, I see a lot of people who they genuinely like they adopted families.
Mm-hmm.
Some do, some don't. You know, you're never going to get it right. It's a lot of people who born into their families don't like they fucking like families. Okay? It is going to be what it is. It's a loving is blind situation. You're not going to always like your fucking family. Period.
I think the intent is different from being an adult to a child. It's a slight difference. I get what you're saying.
At least you got I saw something. The most critical choice you're ever going to be able to make is you can pick your life partner. You cannot pick your mom.
Right.
You cannot pick your dad. You can't pick your siblings. You can't pick your grandparents. You can't pick any of that. You can pick your spouse. Choose wisely. That is the only person you can pick.
If it's not
that
arranged.
Is a person representative to you.
True. Mm-hmm. But love ain't blind.
And that's why it is so important to pick someone who mirrors the best part of you. Mm-hmm. If someone asked me today, would I have picked my husband again 10 times over? 10 times over. That's why I don't understand how people be so disgusted with the person who they married. Oh, I can't believe I married that much.
Well, people change. Well, No. I think people do change.
I think people are people. What you're seeing over time is the eventuality of what is.
I think people change off of the experiences that they are receiving from.
Okay, I can go with that.
I really do believe that. And then it's like, you're changing because it may be something I've done that caused you to change, or it may be influences that you are around that have caused you to change. Right. And this is not who you used to be. Like your children, your child may have grown up to be respectful, no back talking, but his friend down the road get to do all this. And you're like, dang, they're doing all this and they can still get what they want. Knowing that your child really want to be disobedient to you, but that's not how he or she was raised.
Yeah.
So they go home and trying that same attitude, and you're like, "What's wrong with you? Because you changed. This is not how I raised you." Influences can change the trajectory of people sometimes based on situations.
Look at you with the SAT word. I hear you.
You know what?
But you still see, and as horrible as my daughter can be sometimes, I wouldn't trade her for any other kid. She's still mine. I spent yesterday with my kid, and just to sit across from her and have lunch with her, like, I still see my little girl as things that I can laugh at. Like, she was like, "Look at you talking about, you know, I ain't one of your little fucking friends. Look at you trying to be, want me to be your little fucking friend, mama." Like, these are things that only me and her share. Like, I could never have the relationship that I have with her with anybody else. My baby daddy.
Well,
my
that's
husband.
Because you have, like, invested. I feel like as parents, sometimes you don't want to leave what you have invested into. I'd rather stick it out, whatever my child is like, because that's my child. And I put too much energy, time, effort into this creation. Some people may feel that way. Some people say, "F it all. I don't want nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Let it go." But you are different because you have invested time, energy, money, every emotions you have invested, and you care enough to not let that just walk out your life. That's my take on it, because you care. I think people give up because they stop caring.
True. When people give up, it's just they stop caring.
They stop caring. They have either let situations overshadow them, and they have lost sight of what was important to them, and they gave up.
Yep.
Yeah, valid.
Yep.
Play our daughter today.
When you have a genuine light about you, you will always attract darkness. You know, when I look back on my relationships in my early 20s, I attracted so many narcissists, which I had experienced narcissistic abuse as a child. So part of that is that because I had to attract partners who had the same traits as my trauma, so that I would confront my trauma and so that I could heal from my trauma. So we also got to change this narrative about don't have a victim mentality. Whenever you have, like, you come out of some god-awful, toxic, you know, abusive relationship or whatever, there's a lot to be learned in that. That if you don't sit and dissect that, you will continue that pattern. You will keep meeting that same motherfucker. Amen. But I would always attract these narcissistic partners, and it was trying to teach me boundaries. I had no fucking boundaries because I was so desperate for love. I was so desperate for validation. I was so desperate to be a part of something or somebody or to be validated, you know. And so I overlooked all of these other things, and the whole time, moth to a flame. They were sucking the life out of me. They didn't have a script of their own. They wanted my fucking script. They didn't have a light of their own. They wanted my light. And it's not like they wanted to share. They wanted to take it from me so I couldn't have it. That's the thing about a lot of darkness. You understand what I'm saying? And we are all, I'm equal parts dark and light. So I'm not even saying right, wrong, good or bad. You know, I'm very big on duality. But what I'm saying is, people have this idea of like, oh, I'm a victim. No, people are sent to you to hurt you very fucking badly. You had a contract with these people before you incarnated into this life. You understand what I'm saying to you? And they will bring every fucking wound you got. They will rip that bitch open. Your mama didn't hug you. They won't fucking hug you. Your mama told you you wouldn't be shit. They tell you wouldn't be shit. They are going to mirror and mimic the same fucking personality traits of the trauma that you experienced as a goddamn child. This is for your benefit. This is so that you can open it all up and get it all out and feel everything comes to the surface. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then you get to heal from it. But you can't, you have got to feel it. You cannot go above it. You cannot go around it. You have got to go through it. And this is not a couple weeks process. This ain't a couple months process. This is probably going to be ongoing throughout most of your life. But there's going to be a period of probably a couple years where you're going to have to do the goddamn work.
Well,
that was a lot.
That was a big pill. Yet we must swallow it. Well, resident therapist.
I agree with everything she said, and I have said it several times before on this show. You have to do the work. When you come to therapy, the therapists don't have the answers for you. We guide you, and we give you tools to learn and interventions to learn so you can do the healing yourself. And the healing is not going to be pretty. It's not going to be jumping roses and dancing rainbows and all of that stuff. The healing works. Some days you're going to feel up. Some days when you come out of therapy, you're going to feel down. Some days you may sit alone and you're okay. Some days you're going to sit alone and you're going to cry your eyes out. But that doesn't mean that you aren't healing. It's a process and it's going to take time. And with some people, it may not take as long as others, but you continue. Even when you feel better, we as therapists will reduce the time you come and see us. But then it's all a method to what's going on here in your journey. So maybe you're coming one time a week. Then next thing you know, you're coming twice a month. And then it may be that you have a setback and you got to come back in and jump back in. You in your journey, this is your journey alone. But it's always good to have someone that is clinically minded to talk to about how you heal through your process. And you gotta heal. And so in the trauma bonding, all of that is true. Like people bond over things such as that. When people are trauma bonding, sometimes it's like, oh my God, we got so much in common. This may be my soulmate. And at first, what is it? Love bombing. Because it's like, oh, I finally found somebody that recognizes me, that understands me. But are they making you better? In a way, you feel like it because you feel like that person is understanding you. But then how do you feel like a couple of weeks later? Do you feel the draining? Do you feel like oh, God, I like being with this person. But when you let go of that person is somewhere else. Like, how do you feel once that person is away? Do you feel drained? Do you feel more stressed? Like, okay, I don't feel free at all. I don't feel like my life is going anywhere with this person. I like this person, but that person may not be that person for you because in their journey, it may be different. They probably haven't even started therapy.
You mentioned two things. anytime you learn a new skill, they say if you don't use it, you lose it, right? Mm-hmm. I think for those who seek introspection, seek clarity, understand, I think if you don't continue those things within yourself, mm-hmm. if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yep.
That's and right. And that's going to be with friendships, partnerships, any type of relationship. Mm-hmm. If you don't continually look into yourself and do the work on yourself, mm-hmm. always, like mm-hmm. like she said, sometimes this may be for eternity, infinity. Mm-hmm. It may not ever stop. It all depends on you. But mm-hmm. if you don't continue, you will lose everything that you've learned, everything mm-hmm. that you practice, the things that you say, I'm no longer going to let serve me. Right. And if you stop having that mentality, you're going to invite those old habits back in. Mm-hmm. The second thing that you said, and I'm telling you, I have, I just had this epiphany when you said it, love bombing. I am so terrified of love bombing. It is dangerous. It's not healthy. It is unnecessary. You don't have to love bomb. Don't love bomb me. And then mm-hmm. weeks later, I'm like, what the F going on? Mm-hmm. Because that instant gratification of love bombing is only setting up failure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't love bomb me. I don't want it fast. I want it slow and easy. Mm-hmm. I don't want it fast and hard and, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So, but who do you blame? The person that's love bombing, or do you blame yourself?
Take accountability.
Mm-hmm. Because people are only going to do what you allow them to do. Mm-hmm. So if I continue to allow this person to love bomb me, I am allowing them to shut themselves off from me too. Right. And it's my feelings that I'm left with. Mm-hmm. They are not subjective to my feelings. I can blame them, but they're only doing what they were allowed to do.
Or what they know to do.
So mm-hmm. I'm telling you, a man come to me and want to love bomb me, I am going the opposite direction. Because, sir, you don't know me. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this to me? Why?
So paranoid. You can't love bomb me.
You...
get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like...
Get the fuck out of here. I don't want it. It's not real.
It's mm-hmm. not. It's not natural. Mm-mm. It is very unnatural to do that. What is your purpose? Why are you doing this? And are you trying to control me already? Already?
No.
I'm trying to pump gas. Can I at least put some gas in my car first? Don't come over here and pump my gas for me.
If it looked too good to be true, it. Is.
No, if I run into you three times in one week, I might. I am so.
Girl.
I'm getting you like you. I'm about to be terrified. I'm about to be paranoid.
My little work home girl, she's young. She's so sweet. She asked me, she said, Arrington, do you ever get tired of being paranoid and thinking someone is always out to get you? I said, no, because someone is always out to get me. Someone is always trying to kill me. Someone is always trying to steal from me.
Ain't nobody.
Yes, it is.
You in your head.
Yes,
now.
It is. And I said, and I told her, and someone is always out to get you too. And that's what's going to keep you safe. And that's what's going to keep you alive.
Yeah, alert.
And that's so what's going to keep you.
You are always and that's what's going to keep.
And but that's what's going to keep you from paranoid. Getting your fucking heart broke, bitch.
Don't use, no, it's not the paranoid,
you don't
paranoia.
Protect yourself, okay. Bitch.
Back to earth. Back to earth, Yolanda.
Aliens leave.
Back to earth.
Leave now.
It's not paranoia.
You got to tear these kids.
It's not paranoia. Let's call it discernment.
Discernment,
okay?
Yes.
That's discernment. And you are very intuitive.
I am.
And so you keep that guard up.
And when Tricky Dicky.
To right here by your heart.
And when Tricky Dicky start laying all that good stuff on real slick.
Not paranoid.
And flowers and cards and candy. I love you, baby. And what you, come on in, queen. I want to send you some Cash App money. Would you like to go shopping? Grand Rising.
The Grand Rising.
What
Lord
the fuck do you want? Get off my phone. And this is why I treat
you
men.
You can't accept anything from everyone.
No, but I don't want you to treat men that way. Just say no thank you.
I mean for a reason. Y'all, I ain't got nothing left. I don't have nothing left for these niggas. Nothing. I'ma die with my motherfucking homegirls. And that's just how it's gonna be.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, it is. Because these mangy motherfuckers. My husband was the last one. I ain't got nothing left for the rest of these roadkill motherfuckers. I'm done.
It is very.
You have some interesting names for a lot of things.
Oh, baby, I got a list. I got a list.
Here's the thing with love bombing, though. Love bombing, it can start in the beginning. It can start in the middle. It can start in the end. It can be through the entire process.
And they want to know why people get fooled, and then they want to run. Nah, mm-hmm. Nigga, don't run now. Mm-mm. I mean, I ain't gonna chase you, but that's how a lot of females end up finding themselves in jumpsuits. Because they have been love bombed, or men can get love bombed too.
Yep, absolutely. And
they find themselves stalkers, and they
Why would you want to spend your life in jail?
I'm just saying, it's psychological.
You hurt them.
It's a psychological feeling.
Something in your mind just in a nick, like boom, split second.
I wouldn't lose my freedom over a wide back rhinoceros.
They weren't thinking that way. They weren't thinking that way. They weren't thinking sensibly. Mm-mm. At all.
Because love bombing is a illness.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't to me.
It is. No, you're
illness,
right. It is.
And people lose their sense of direction because they're clouded.
Let me tell you something about the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. I said a prayer one day. And I said, and I was injured by one of these nothing-ass piece of shits. Mm-hmm. And I said, God, I never want to have emotional stake in another male human being to where I love them to the capacity where they'll have any power over me, where I'm upset. Where I'm attached to the point I need to be able to release them and feel nothing for them because they are nothing. They mean nothing to me. They don't mean me no good. And ever since I prayed that prayer, nothing they do bothers me. Mm-hmm. When they do shit to me, I laugh. I think it's fucking comical. And I have a good day. I really do.
That's because you have learned to be in control of your emotions.
I am.
Yeah.
God damn, this thing is so beautiful.
The thing is, don't let someone steal your joy, your happiness, your self-respect. Don't let someone else gain control over your mind. And that's, once you have lost it all, whether it's monetary, emotionally, spiritually, and you go to that dark place.
Yeah,
at least where I can speak, you know that feeling, and it's I'm never going back there again because that place ain't good for nothing and no one, and you will not take me there. I will flip on you so quick. I will show you better than I can tell, baby. I will. Yes, ma'am.
Because they just mangy.
Lord.
All men are not
mangy.
They mangy. We're not going to bash Yolanda. Because all men aren't mangy.
Not all of them, but 90.
It's the ones who think they can get over.
98.9%.
But in the end, you know, they'll see it again. And I always have this thing that when your karma comes back, you're going to go right back to the time why your karma
is hitting you.
And you'll be like, oh, it was because I did this person like this. It's like I see it like playing as a flashback in your head. So, you know.
Roll that beautiful bean
footage. Only thing is, you know, with trauma bonding, also it manipulates honesty and dependent. So then you're not, you can't be trustworthy, or you don't want to trust anybody anymore. And like, I think either you and Vaughn had said, Yoshi, that the codependence is something as well, because they really want you to be dependent on them and them only. And it doesn't work like that.
Mm-mm. And stop using that word narcissist, because
everybody, yeah, because now, honey, now we got some narcissists, but whew, and that's crazy. But now,
but
we can diagnose you with some other personality clusters.
But we can make a narcissist extinct,
right?
When we stop feeding the narcissist
right.
behavior,
you have to ignore the behavior. You do. You have to ignore the behavior and confront them head on.
Right.
To say, look, I'm on to you. You know? I always say it's patterns. Patterns mm-hmm. and actions mm-hmm. tell it every, especially the patterns.
Because I'm a narcissist now. I've become the mirror. I'm going to show mm-hmm. them just what I'm going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I find one, I'm going to become their mirror. Mm-hmm. Surprise.
They don't like that.
Surprise.
They don't like that.
Uh-uh.
But no, you know what? We're going to rise above, because we don't even want that energy in
mm-mm.
our system.
I'm Nate therapist. I'm going to heal their mm-hmm. ass.
Mm-mm. We're not here to heal
really?
Them.
Really? You
No,
you
that's
want
what I just said.
That?
Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. We're not here. No, we're not here to heal them, because no, because sometimes they'll take that and say, see there, I still got her though. And that feeds into their ego.
I think
you don't
ignoring,
do that.
Ignoring the situation
and confronting them head on.
I can show you better than I
yep.
can tell you.
Yep. Yeah, ignoring and confronting head on.
I can definitely show you better than I can tell you.
Mm-mm.
No,
they'll
silence
get their
is
karma.
Golden. Silence
yeah.
is golden.
Yep. They'll get their karma. And mm-hmm. and honey, for some reason, you always find out about it. Because
they know,
it.
I think yeah. when silence becomes golden, it's like, it's a silent battle that's been won, and they see it and they know something is different, and they cannot put their finger on it because what they used to do ain't working no more. Everything that they tried to do again is bouncing back. It's a bounce back. And when that happens, they have lost the energy is gone, right? And they see that they are not winning. And it messes with their ego.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the past.
It messes with their ego.
I don't fool with them no more. In the past, I showed them the mirror. Surprise.
And so I think when we try to match to the... How you match them is silence.
Mm-hmm.
But when we try to play the same game along with them in the situation together, they haven't learned their lesson. They haven't learned.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. But the moment you go rogue and silent, they mm-hmm. are looking for you. They are hunting you down. They are chasing you down. They're trying to figure out what has changed.
Mm-hmm. Invest in therapy.
Nah, nigga, I ain't changed.
Invest in therapy.
That's how Erica
invest,
about to say.
Invest,
nah, nigga.
Invest in self-awareness.
I'm a cold motherfucker.
mm-hmm. Been okay. a cold. Been a cold motherfucker.
You just not, I'm just not releasing this shit.
And will always be one.
Yeah.
So y'all better watch out for them. Y'all
that's,
better watch
that's
out
how
for
you do
them.
It. Because I'm too pretty to be ugly. I'm just saying.
And with ugly.
And with, yes.
And with ugly.
And dang. That. We gone
and
already?
That already. Because right, the engineer
take me
said.
Take me through there. Where we going, twin?
Go.
Out the door.
All right now. Outside.
Not with no mean men. I know with that.
No man who on a financial celibacy either.
Mm-mm.
But anyway, thank you mm-mm. for tuning into today's episode. Never
it
miss an
jam.
Episode on the Very Necessary Podcast. And our email, I'm sorry, our website is theverynecessarypodcast.com. And send us an also very necessary letter. We hadn't had a letter in a very long time. So I think we need to hear from y'all. And some of you guys hit us up directly. Some of y'all hit us up in the inboxes and emails. But you know what? We want to hear from you. We want to know what your take is on the last few episodes. And just share with us
what's going on. So our email is thevarynecessarypodcast@gmail.com.
Just like you have a primary care physician, a dentist, you should also have a therapist. Check into that annually, quarterly, monthly, weekly.
Amen.
Out.
We out.